Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, unworthy as we are, we pray that we may hear a message from you. We pray that the name of Jesus will be lifted up, and that you will bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I am not a scholar. If you came here to hear a scholarly discourse, wait until the next class. If I were going to pretend to be a scholar, it would not be in this location. I made one attempt at being a scholar, and the result was disastrous. When I was a student at Princeton Theological Seminary, each student was required to preach a short sermon. I determined that my sermon would be an example of scholarship. So I worked until I had a product of great erudition. I then memorized it so that I would be fluent. Perhaps I should say glib. When my turn came to give the message, I went to the front and gave the message without a flaw. Usually the professor commented on the message of the student while he was standing at the front. But he was merciful to me. He allowed me to go back to my seat and sit down. And then he delivered this death blow. He said, "Mr. Witte has given us a great example of constipation of thought and diarrhea of words." That was my last attempt to be a scholar. But after more than 70 years in the ministry, I would like to share with you something that the Bible, the Spirit of God, our great Savior, has given to me so graciously. And if there is one thing that I give of my experience that is not in conformity to the Word of God, then I ask you, in all sincerity, to disregard what I have said. For it is my belief that the Word of God, the Bible, is our final and supreme authority. And that all human experience must be tested by the Word of God. And that which is not in conformity with the Word of God should not be acceptable to us. But there are three things that Jesus has granted to me that I would like to share briefly with you. When I was 6 years of age, I was sitting with my grandfather in the church in Glasgow, Kentucky. Preachers Hear this and make a note. The preacher who preached the message that day was wise enough to preach a message that was so simple and so plain that an 8-year-old boy could get hold of it. I sat there, a sinner who knew he was a sinner. I sat there as a little boy with the realization that if I had died, I would go to hell. I was scared. But as the preacher expounded about the love of God, the Holy Spirit gave me the courage to get up from beside my grandfather and walk to the front of the church and take the preacher's hand and say, "What must I do to be saved?" And he told me, "Repent, confess your sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Oh, thank God I did that. And after I had asked Jesus to come into my heart, I, as a little boy, knew one thing about salvation. I knew that he had replaced fear with peace. And I was certain that he had forgiven me of my sins and washed them in the blood of Jesus. The wonderful thing about the Christian experience is that it grows. That's all I knew then. And since then, I have learned that I became a child of God. Since then, I've learned that I've been taken from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Since then, I have learned that I became a new creature. Since then, I have learned that I was sealed with the Holy Spirit, that I belong to God. Since then, I have learned that the Holy Spirit baptized me into the body of Jesus Christ, and I became a part of the body of Christ. Since then, I have learned that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So that no matter how long I live, the way grows brighter, and the future becomes more radiant. I live in a retirement community, and I have a small Bible class that I teach each week. Most of them are older women, because there are more older women than there are men. Women, of course, are the weaker sex. But one of the things that I want to teach them is that a senior and a senior senior should be the happiest person in the world, because we've got a great future. We will soon be with the Lord. It is better than this life. It is better than anything that we have known. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. And the greatest compliment that I received from my class was when one of these elderly ladies said to me, "Dr. Witte, you're teaching us not to be afraid to die." It's wonderful what Jesus does for us when we simply come and receive Him. When we receive the gift for which He paid so dear a price. So the first thing that I wanted to say to you is, Let us praise God for this wonderful salvation that a little child can receive. And let us preach it, and let us testify to it, and let us witness in such a way that a child can get hold of it. The second thing that I wanted to tell you I was in Portland, Oregon with my mother. We had been at least a comfortable family when we were in Glasgow. But my father had had a breakdown. He had lost all of his money. And my mother and I were in Portland, Oregon alone. How many of you were raised in Kentucky? A few. You will understand what I say. We were not poor. We were poor. Every day I put cardboard in my shoes. And I shuffled along. I didn't want people to see the holes in my shoes. I saw people passing by in their nice cars. I didn't even have money enough to ride on the bus. And this got to me. And I said to my mother, "This is not fair. And my mother said this to me. Thank God she said this to me. You know, the schools today talk about self-image. But my mother said this to me. She said, "Robert G., lift up your head. You're a child of the King." And I've been poor since that time, but I've never been poor. Because my Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hand. And I've never been poor because I've got a Heavenly Father. Praise God. When I was 16, my mother and I were your president has authority to say, at such and such a time, stop. When I was 16, my mother and I were sitting in this church. And whether you believe it or not, I heard no voice. I could speak only with English. I had never been slain in the Spirit. I heard no audible voice. I saw no vision. But God spoke to me. And God said, "You are to be a preacher." I didn't want to be a preacher. I went home and did what no 16-year-old boy would do. I skipped lunch. I went into the room and shut the door. And I paced the floor. And I dropped to my knees. And I paced the floor. And I dropped to my knees. And I said, "Oh God, we've been poor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be something that'll make some money." God says, "You're a preacher." And I received no peace. Hours passed by. I walked back and forth. I prayed. I did everything I knew. But I received no peace until I knelt by the side of that bed and said, "Oh God, I'll do what you want me to do." And then I began to realize, and it has grown with the years, until today it is at its zenith with my life. What a marvelous thing, what a gracious thing, what an incredible thing that the Almighty Sovereign God, omniscient, omnipresent, infinite, eternal, would look down upon a 16-year-old boy and say, "I want you to be a preacher." What amazing grace. And I'm so grateful. I believe that a minister should not be in a chosen profession. A minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ should be called. Now, since that day, I have struggled with intellectual problems. I have struggled with acceptance by people. I have struggled with resistance. I've been some glorious times and some hard times. But I'll tell you one thing. I have never doubted, and I have never ceased to thank God that He graciously called me to preach. Oh, I'm so thankful. And I'm so sorry that at times I failed Him. I think that every Christian is called, and every preacher is called to be a saint. "Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." All of us have that call. I believe that every Christian is called to be a witness. He may stutter or stammer. He may be ignorant or learned. But every Christian is called to tell others about Jesus. But to be called to a preacher, to say God's word, what a privilege. And I've learned something as I've grown older. Every morning when I get up, the first thing that I do, I have a special chair. I kneel down by that chair, and I say, "Thank you that I can call you Father. Thank you that I can know that I'm your child. Equip me, O God. And use me to your glory." And friend, it doesn't matter whether you're in a little country church or you're in a great mega church. It doesn't matter whether you're talking to one person or whether you're talking to 10,000 people. The important thing is not how many. The important thing is the person for whom you're working. We're God's servants. And the glorious thing is that God has let us be His servants. He has used us. Oh, how I thank God for that privilege. And I'm sure that as I look into the faces of you who, if Jesus tarries, will become the leaders of our great denomination, I'm sure that every person that is here must be saying in your heart, oh, thank God that you've saved me. Thank God that you've called me. Thank God that you've equipped me. Thank God that you let me work for you, that you would use me. It's God that uses us. That's wonderful. That's glorious. Then I want to tell you about one other experience. I recall the day that I got off the train at Davenport, Florida, and I looked over that little village and I saw that white church in the distance. And I said, oh God, here's my parish. Here's where you give me a place to preach. And there I did. But I knew there was something lacking. I believe that when we became saved, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I believe that when we were saved, we were baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Jesus. But there was something lacking. And I went to a conference in Daytona Beach. There was an old missionary from India that spoke. And as I listened to him, I became so hungry. I became so thirsty for God's righteousness. Let me explain it this way. Two preachers were talking together. And one said to the other, why do you think that Dwight L. Moody was used so marvelously in his campaigns in England? And the other preacher said, I believe it was because Dwight L. Moody had the Holy Spirit. And the other preacher said, no. It wasn't because Dwight L. Moody had the Holy Spirit. It was because the Holy Spirit had Dwight L. Moody. And as I sat there and listened to this man talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which is the command of God's Word for each one of us, I got so hungry. I got so thirsty. I said, will this man never quit preaching? I want to get on my knees before God. And finally he quit. I didn't go to the front. I simply fell on my knees there by the pew. I don't know that I said anything out loud. But oh, I was saying to God, take me all, every room, every drawer, every key, everything about me, take me, Lord. I'm yours, all yours. I didn't speak with tongues. I wasn't slain in the Spirit. I didn't see a vision. But oh, I felt a fullness. It was not just a feeling, it was a conviction, it was a communion I felt within my soul that God was filling my heart and my life. And I went from that place not with a new presence, but with a new fullness. I believe there's one baptism. I believe there are many fillings. And I confess to you that I have failed God time after time. And the fullness is gone. But oh, I thank God that when I surrender fully and believe, I'm filled. And daily I'll lift up my hands to God and say, oh God, take me and fill me with your Spirit. And as that song says, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean. I am so sorry that I have failed God so many times. I am so sorry that I failed Him in such a way that I would not have the fullness. But I'll tell you, the greatest tragedy is not if a man has been filled and then has failed and has been filled and has failed. The greatest tragedy that you can experience is if you that are saved, you that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the greatest tragedy if you have never come to that time in which you have said to, oh God, take all of me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you have never had at least an initial experience, at least one experience in which God has filled your heart, that's the greatest tragedy. I guess I have repented more as I have gotten older, certainly than I did before I was saved. When I think of the cross, and that my sins helped to put him there, I've sat in my room alone and sobbed my heart out. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But as I'm looking at the cross, my sorrow has changed into a joyous thanksgiving that you love me enough to do that for me. We've got a wonderful Savior. And I pray that God would help you. To serve Him, to be used of Him in the fullness of His power. Don't be satisfied with any less than God's best. You know, they talk to some people about burning out and all. And I'm at an old age. And I apologize to the music department. But I'm going to sing. I can't sing, but I'm going to sing. I want you to hear my last testimony. And I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. And I feel like traveling on.